بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم
صلى الله عليه وسلم. That peace be upon his descendants of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Ashab, who are the stars of guidance and the propagators of the Quran Kareem, and also upon those believers who are their followers in faith. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in one hadith, has stated that the Sahabas are like the stars. Whomsoever you follow, you shall be guided. Now you and I know that there are various types of stars, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has used the word As-Sahabi Kal-Nujum, and Nujum in Arabic means that star which is guiding. So Sahabas are like guiding stars. Whomsoever you follow, you shall be guided. Now in the sky there are various types of stars, various brightness of stars, and this brightness etc. depends on the nearness to earth. And we know now there are stars of various nature, those that guide, those that are not used for guiding. First of all, in the daytime the stars are of no value as far as the guiding ships or those ships requiring guidance. But no sooner the sun sets and the stars begin to appear, then in those days the ships use the stars. Their navigators, etc., now look towards the sky, looked up at the sky and began to look at the stars. And observing the sky, studying the sky, see the pattern of stars, see the brightness of stars, and looking at the guiding stars, the navigators were able to sail their ships and boats in the correct direction. Now, just looking at the stars, they were able to now sail their ships, evade stormy waters, evade all the rocks, as you and I know that in the ocean, in the seas, that if the ships do not take the correct route, then they are bound to hit into rocks. And just as we have got mountains as we see them, when you're traveling and you see mountains, then under the water and on the ocean bed, from the ocean bed springs up mountains. And you can visualize these mountains and the ships, they are just trying to pass and evade those mountains. The ships in those days did not have this periscope and all this sophisticated equipment to see underwater and then look at the rocks and look at the mountains etc. and evade them. But they used the guiding stars and they were able to evade all those underlying rocks also. So by using those stars, the ship was able to sail into safety and get onto the shore. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is comparing the guiding stars with the Sahaba. And he says the Sahabas are like them. Now, in darkness, and we ought to know what is the light, in falsehood, and you ought to know what is the truth, and in the world, if you ought to know what is right and wrong, and in this world of stormy waters, and in this world of trial and tribulation, and in this world where we've got difficulties and problems, and in this world where there are all sorts of new isms coming about, where someone says this is right and this is right, or this is wrong and this is supposed to be done, then we are supposed to look at the life of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Because when we observe the life of the Sahaba, then definitely we'll be able to say that this is correct and this is wrong, that this is truth and this is falsehood, and this will lead me to salvation and this will lead towards hellfire, towards Jahannam. Therefore Sahaba are a criterion for us as far as right and wrong is concerned. Sahaba are a criterion for us as far as Haqq and Batil are concerned. Sahaba are a criterion for us as far as our daily life is concerned, even that we just have to observe life of Sahaba. In whatever action they gave priority, we should give priority. In whatever action they said that we should not do, we do not do. So in any matter, some pertaining directly to ibadah, some pertaining to transactions, some pertaining to politics, we should observe the life of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Once we observe their life, then we can be guided. Why? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has placed his stamp upon. The Sahabas are like guiding stars. Now the stars also have got one other quality, that some are bright and some are not so bright. And the navigators generally used to use the brighter stars for their landmarks, or shall we say for their sky marks, and then get their plan out and chalk out their route. In the Sahaba itself, you will find that with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that some of their state is high, some of their state is low. As far as Sahaba are concerned, we cannot match the status of Sahaba. As you know, the rule and the belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat is that the lowest of Sahaba is higher in status and position than the highest of saints. And then the belief of concerning Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jailani Rahmatullah Alayh, that Piran e Pir, that he is the saint of the saint. Some have this wrong notion that Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jailani Rahmatullah Alayh is the highest of saints. Whereas this is not true. What is in fact true is that once in his discourses, Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jailani Rahmatullah Alayhi stated that he is standing on the necks of the saints. And the correct interpretation is that during his era, or during his livelihood, or during that state where he has reached his peak status or peak position of spirituality or ecstasy, then at that time there was no saint to match him. But you cannot make a statement like, he is the greatest saint ever born. Then while we are here, let me mention another point. That, for example, if you meet a person and he does not know about a certain saint, for example, if a person does not know about Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali, Bayezid Bustani Rahmatullah Ali, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali, or he does not know of these saints, that you cannot classify him out of the fold of Islam. Yes, what we have to believe in is sainthood, vilayat. That we have to believe in. That there is such a state, a position, and a level, a degree, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes and he makes a person his friend. Actually, vilayat means, a wali means, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A one who has attained proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who has come near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who is now, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says that now he sees with my eyes, meaning the eyes, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to see, he will see. And he will do exactly with his organs what Shariat wants him to do. He will look at those things which Shariat wants him to look at. He will say those things which Shariat wants him to say. He will use his hands where Shariat wants him to use his hands. He will go with his feet towards that direction where Shariat wants him. He will at no stage contravene Shariat. One person, for example, went to an area and said, came to know that there is a very great saint. Then he went to see him. And when he went to see him and observed his actions, while the person, so-called saint, was making wudu, then he began to spit towards the Qibla direction. The person said, how can this person be a saint? Whereas spitting towards the Qibla while making wudu, etc., this comes under, if you don't do it, comes under mustahab. They say, this person is leaving mustahab out, how he is going to be attained sainthood? So a person who is attaining sainthood, person who is attaining wilayat, he will conform to the Shariat strictly. And Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in were those who conformed to Shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam absolutely, to to the T, to the letter, they conform to Shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were far excellent in character. Today I was reading a very interesting story. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was crying. Someone asked him, why are you crying? So he said that for 7 days now, something has come upon me. Something has befell me. So what has happened to you 7 days? He said, for 7 days now I have got no mehman coming to my house. For 7 days now no visitor has visited me. For 7 days now I'm eating alone, no one is eating with me. He said, 7 days now. So why are you crying about it? He said, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not accepting my food for the visitors. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not accepting my actions for the visitors. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stopping visitors to come to my place. Unfortunately, the attitude today in some places is that if a visitor comes, then we feel very upset or feel extremely afraid or something will happen, food will run short. If we have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we have confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then visitors do not make the food short. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is provider, sinner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates barakat in the heart. As long as there is broadness in the heart, as long as there is wusat in the heart, as long as there is comfort in the heart, then the visitor, when you see him, you cannot feel hurt in the heart or feel narrow in the heart. And especially a visitor comes, it is reported that the food you present before the visitor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah is not going to question you for that food, because you have presented it before the visitor. That is why it is stated, when a visitor comes, try to present whatever you can present it before him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those actions. A story of a saint comes in mind, that one of his friends came to him and told him that I am in debt of 400 Ashrafia, could you loan me that? So he said, willingly I'll loan you. He took the 400 Ashrafia and gave it to him. After his friend went away, this person began to weep and cry. So his wife came to tell him that, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? She was under the impression that perhaps he's weeping, his 400 Ashrafia went away, and he has lost some money, and perhaps he is having the feeling that the friend won't be able to repay him. So he's saying that I'm not worried about that loan that I've given away. I'm not worried about the money that I've given away. I'm not perturbed about the 400 Ashrafia that I've given away. What is depressing me and what is making me cry is that he is my friend and I don't know he is in debt. He is my friend and I don't know he is in debt. And I'm ashamed at this fact that he has to come and ask me for 400 Ashrafiyah. Meaning how we should behave with our societies, with our friends, you know, with our people, that we should worry about their, not only their welfare as far as food and hunger or clothing is concerned, but everything. If the person allows, you should try to worry about everything. That is how our society can build up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the abilities to understand status of Sahaba. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmadu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. We are discussing this ayat, ihdina sirat al-mustaqeem. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about guidance, hidayat. And last time, we concluded on this note that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not give hidayat to his uncle who was passing away. Although his uncle was affectionate to him, helping, loving to him, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not give hidayat. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Abu Talib passed away, died, without reciting kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing hidayat, and hidayat here refers to direction or directing towards good. Because in other portion of the Quran Kareem, there is that shaitan is trying to mislead you and give you hidayat for the wrong things, and give you hidayat to do the wrong things. Here means hidayat means ability, capability, the potentiality. Every man has got the potentiality of walking. that he either can walk towards a masjid or he can walk towards a sin area. A person has got, if he's got the faculty of hearing, he can either listen to Quran Kareem, he can either listen to Islamic discourse, or he can either listen to permissible talk, or he can either listen to haram music. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the ability to do this. So this ability also, to give the ability to do something, is also hidayat. There is a saying that when knowledge comes knocking on the door, don't open the window. Now, a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if he is a fasik, if he is a fajir, if he is a transgressor, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give him hidayat. You see, a person who is transgressing the bounds of Sharia, a person who is not conforming to Sharia, then hidayat does not come to him very quickly. Why? Because he is making no effort in that direction. See, a person, he is a shop owner, and he makes no effort. Then end of the day, let alone that, end of the month, end of the week, end of the year, he does not make any profit. Why? He is making no effort in that direction. Person says, I'm a shop owner, he does not open the shop, he does not stock the shop, he does not advertise, he does not sell, he does not treat his customers well, then he will not be able to sell his product. Why? Because he is closing the doors of business, he is closing the doors of transaction, he is closing the doors of profit, he is closing the door of his material progress, he is closing the door of monetary gain. Similarly, if a person is floundering the Sharia, if a person is not adopting to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a person is not conforming to Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then hidayah does not reach him, because he is not giving hidayah a chance to reach him. Why? He is closing the door. Whenever the salat azan is going, then he is not responding to it. Whenever the call is coming to conform to Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is not responding to it. When they say keep the beard, he's not keeping the beard. When they say raise your trousers, he's not doing that. When they say treat your wife well, he's not doing that. When they say that treat your neighbor well, he's not doing that. When they say transact jaizly, he's not doing that. When they say that you must weigh properly, he's not doing that. When they say that when you measure, that you must measure properly. But unfortunately, what happens these days, that when you go to some shops where they sell material, then they pull that material and they sell it to you. They say, no, the factory also, they pull it and sell it to us, so therefore we have to pull it and sell it to you. So in fact, when you buy 1 meter material and come back home, then you are landed up with 3/4 meter. Why? We say, no, I'm pulling it and selling it. So all this, unfortunately, still happens, and still happens in our shops. So we should be careful. Then hidayat does not come. Whenever you hear a talk, a discussion, that you must adhere to Sharia, then you do not conform to it, then hidayat cannot come. But on the contrary, if a person hears something, well, I must go for salat, he starts coming for salat. When he hears that I must do this sunnah, use the miswak, or sit on the floor and eat, or I must use my right hand and eat, or I must eat in this fashion, or I must sleep in this fashion, or I must behave like this with my wife in this manner. As long as he starts conforming to the Sharia, then he will get the ability to act upon more of the Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is an ayat of the Quran which means that if you follow, then you will get hidayat. It's simple like that. If there are 2000 sunnats and you begin to adopt a sunnat a day, then it will become easy for you to adopt more sunnats. But if you do not adopt sunnat and you have no interest of adopting sunnat, then hidayat cannot come to you. So this hidayat here, this ayat refers to the hidayat of good, not hidayat towards evil or bad. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants hidayat, for example, to the child. See, when the child is born, the child begins to cry. The child requires milk. Now the child has to have that milk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the child cry. And when the child cries, the mother automatically knows that I must give the child milk. Hidayat comes about there. Like, for example, the tree has got roots and water falls. No sooner the water falls, the roots are given hidayat that you must suck the water in now. You must suck the water in, because this water is good for the whole plant and for the fruits that are going to come about. And for the flowers that are going to blossom, the roots are given hidayat that, oh roots, suck the water in. an old child cries so that you will get the milk. Hidayat is given to the child that cries, you will get the milk. Hidayat is given to the root that you will suck the water when it reaches there. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have created everything in a set proportion. In a proportion, and after that we have guided it. And this everything means intelligence, non-intelligent, animate, non-animate. It means living according to our concept of life and biological life also. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted our ability to feel hot and cold, to taste sweet and sour. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the ability to stay away from those things which are detrimental to us. He has given us all these things. And He has given us intelligence. Allah Rabbul Izzat has blessed us with intelligence, rationality, logic, and He has given us the ability to decide that, listen, don't do this, you will get a bad result. And if you do this, you will have a good result, do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. This intelligence is a hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, you won't go and hold a hot coal or hot rod, or you won't go and put your head in the fire, you won't go and light a candle and put your head over it, you won't do all these silly things, you won't go and get yourself shocked or electrocuted, you won't go and put your head onto the live wire. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the hidayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the hidayah that don't do these things will ruin you and kill you, these things will destroy you. So we can, we should be always grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at every step, at every stage, Allah Rabbul Izzat has granted us hidayah. And more than intelligence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and He has blessed us to be the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is a repository of wahi, divine revelation, divine inspiration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with wahi. And I have proven to you that wahi is more superior than intelligence. Because all other things can be defective. Quickly to skim over, for example, you're going on the tarmac on a hot road. Then what happens? You see there is water in front. And your eyes are seeing the water in front. But when you come there, there is no water. Why? Because the tarmac is giving off some heat rays and you feel you are seeing some water. So your eyes are perfect, you are not using glasses, you are not short-sighted or long-sighted, nothing. But still you are seeing water when water is not there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, way is that where there is no fault in it. See, for example, when you are jaundiced, then you start seeing everything yellow. And for example, if you got a defect in the hearing, or if you are underwater, then the hearing is not so good, it's impaired. Your taste, if you got a flu, then your taste and smell is impaired. You cannot taste well, you cannot smell well if you got a flu. But wahi, divine revelation to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot be defective. Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, they knew this. They understood this fully well. That Rasulullah said, what wahi is getting can never be wrong, can never be false, can never be faulting, can never be a mistake. Therefore, as soon as Rasulullah told us that Allah says this, let alone that, because whatever Rasulullah said, because of the ayat, وَمَا يَدِّكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ إِلَيْهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of Rasulullah that He is divinely inspired, not but divinely inspired, and He gets wahi. Sahaba understood this. Whatever Rasulullah said, they did without question. That is why when Utbah, after when the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah was being drawn up, then he came back to the Quraysh and told them that I have been to many kings, I have been to many courts, I have been to many palaces, and I have been to many noble people, but I have never seen such companions of Rasulullah, how they behave to him, towards him. That they are absolutely silent and absolutely peaceful, that whatever he says, they immediately do it. Whatever he instructs, they do it. They are waiting for his command. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks of Sirat al-Mustaqim, then in everything, there are two extremes. One is the very easy way, and one is the very difficult way. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Islam, which is perfect, which is divinely inspired, which comes from divine revelation. which is solid in belief foundation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us Islam, which is natural, which is absolutely natural. Now, in order to understand what is Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight way, we must understand the extremes. First of all, extremes in other deeds, other religions. Then, the extremes that have crept into Islam. And we will sort out what are the extremes. For example, one thing. That the Christians and the Hindus, and maybe the Jews even, they have got what we call seclusion in their religions. You'll see, for example, the monks or the nuns, and then you'll see these pundits or these gurus. They go into the temples or they go into the mountains and they go for perpetual seclusion. And they do not marry. They do not procreate. They do not have sexual relationship. They say that this is wrong. And the monks do not marry. The nuns do not marry. I'm not talking about all the other filth that goes on behind the scene or behind the curtain. After they get into these monasteries, what happens there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But their belief is that people must be secluded. Then they can get proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to so-called God, as they say. Deen of Islam, now that's an extreme thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man the faculty or the quality of passion. This is an inborn quality in man, that he has got the passion. And to say that man must stop utilizing the passion, that means you are saying him to do an unnatural thing. You are saying that this man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the passion, and now you are telling him that he must sit in the monastery. Now you are telling him he must go to the mountain. Now you are telling him that you must go and not get married. You must not have the ability to utilize this quality of passion. So this is an extreme view the Christians and the Hindus are holding, that you must not utilize the quality of passion. Deen of Islam is the straight way, the easy way, the natural way, the perfect way. Saying that man must have the ability to utilize the quality of passion. How? He must get married. Now when he gets married, then he's got a legal spouse. Then legally he can satisfy his passion, he can legally satisfy his lust. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the ability to make i'tikaf. Now in i'tikaf, a person stays away from his family. He stays away from his spouse. And he stays away from that period of 10 days. And in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us that every Muslim, that from Sehri time, after the Sehri ends, from Subah Sadiq, right up till sunset, that man, he does not utilize the quality of passion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the quality of passion and is teaching us how to control it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the quality of passion and is teaching us how to discipline it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the quality and telling us that utilize it now and don't utilize it now. And when you utilize it, then you must utilize it on your own spouse, you will get sawab for that. Not like the other deeds, not like the other religions saying, no, you must cut away from this. So in Islam, a person can marry, a person can have numerous children, a person can go for make ethica, a person is fasting, and on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make him a saint. But the other religion says that if you want to become close to the Creator, then you must seclude yourself. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, La rabbadiya fi deen. That there is no seclusion. Monasticism indeed. There is no idea that you must go and seclude yourself in a room or a house and now stay there and then start giving proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While we are at this stage, discussing about fasting, then these days they have hunger strikes. They go on to hunger strikes and people say, we are going on to hunger strike and we want this met, this demand met and this demand met. Remember in Islam, it is not permissible to hurt yourself. This is the law. It is not permissible for you to hurt yourself. In this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, has given us the order that you must fast from this hour to this hour. After that you must eat. Then after eating, etc., then the relationship with your wife, you could do also. See, there was a time that where fasting was made like this. That you must fast and just open your fast and start another fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the other Shariah it was like that. That they must fast, and then as soon as they stop fasting, they must open the fast and stop, start another fast. We call it continuous fasting. Then now in these days too, now there are some stages in fasting. Some people say, some religions say that you must fast, but you could have fruits and fruit juices. And they say this is fasting. So the person must abstain from everything and eat his filled belly with fruit and fruit juices. They say, I'm fasting. And the other religion says, no, that you must fast, but for 5 days you mustn't eat anything. So for 5 long days now, a person must starve himself. And then says, no, you must fast, but you must fast for 40 days. And you must fast, you must have little bit to eat when you open your fast and start another fast. Islam is teaching us the natural way. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator, He understands us best. So what He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you fast so many hours, after that you eat. After that you go meet your wife. After that you eat nicely, you make tarawih, then you start fasting again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us enough opportunity to regain our strength to fast the other day. And no such thing as bluffing ourselves or deceiving ourselves that we fasting and we eating some fruits and we having fruit juices. That is no fasting. That is just dieting. That is alteration or alteration of food. That is.
May Allah grant us the ability to understand me.